Okay, good morning, Rabosai. Let's just see how our okay. Ready, Jacob? Okay. We are up to bottom daf Hey, Aleph, says the Gemara. Chumash, okay, we got a Chumash. Says the Gemara, the last two lines of Haman Aleph. My time in Ma'an Amar Kol HaKotav Ma'akev. What's the reason for the person, right? The Ma'an Amar we know is Rabbi Yochanan, who says whatever's written in Milum is Ma'akev. Amar Rabbi Yisamar Bista, Amar Krav, Yasita Le'aron Lon of Kacha. Kacha is a Lashon of Ikuva. Who? Tain, the Gemara says, going on to my base, Kol Milsa Dechti Bayan Yana. Yasisa Le'aron Lon of Kacha is written in Parshat Tetzaveh. Remember, everything is written twice. Parshat Tetzaveh is when Hashem commands the Miluim, and Parshat Tzav is when they actually do it. So Teinach, everything written in Parshat Tetzaveh, where it says Kacha, is Ma'akev, according to Rabbi Yochanan. But Milta Deloqti V'hayin Yana Menolan, how about the things that are not written in Parshat Tetzaveh? If so, where are they written? Of course, in Parshat Tzav. How about the things that are written in the Bitsua, which are not written in the Tzivoy? Amr of Nachmar Yitzchak Yolif Petach Petach. We learn in Yerushalma, Petach, Petach. Rashi explains in Parshas Tetzaveh, it says, El Petach Ohel Moed, and in Parshas Tzav, it says, Takriv El Pesach Ohel Moed. So therefore, even the things that are only listed in Parshas Tzav are also Ma'akev. Misharshi gives a second answer, Ushmartem et Nishmeret Hashem, Ikuva. That in Parshas Tzav, it has an extra lashon shmartim et mishmeret Hashem. The extra lashon shmartim et mishmeret means you better do this or else, which shows that it's ma'akev. And Rav Ashi gives a third answer, kichin tzuvesi ikuva. The lashon of kain, meaning it has to be exactly this way, is a ma'akev. Okay, so whichever of these three drushas we will accept, the big machlokas that you've seen, it, of course, is... The big machlokas that you've seen, of course, is what is this milta deloktiva b'hayin yana? What is it that is written in Parsha Tzav that is not written in Parsha Tetzaveh that we need to know whether it's ma'akev or not? In the end, it is ma'akev. So what is this milta deloktiva b'hayin yana? In Yana, right? What is it that's ma'akev in the end, that's written in Tzav, that's not written in Tetzaveh? Okay, so what's the shot of Rashi? What does Rashi say? And the Ritva agrees with him? Right? Right, Morty, you guys can hear me, right?
Urim Bitumim.
Yes.
Okay, Urim Bitumim, correct. So one shot is Rashi, and the Ritva here happens to agree. He says it means the Urim Bitumim. Rashi explains, we don't mean all the parshas Tetzaveh. We mean the Perek of Tetzaveh, like Chaspet, which talks about the Miluim, it never says to put the Urim Bitumim in the Choshen. But in Parsha Tzav, it does say they put the Urim Bitumim in the Choshen. That's what we need to know, that it's Ma'akev. Okay, the second shot is Rabbeinu Tam, quoting the Tosfos Rush. Right? The Tosfos Rush quotes Rabbeinu Tam, and I didn't put it on the Makoros, because it's just another listing, or maybe I put in brackets. But yeah, the Tosfos Rid quotes Rabbeinu Baruch. Okay, Rabbeinu Baruch is one of the Rabbeinu Tam's first, then he taught the Re, Rabbeinu Baruch, the Talmud of the Re. They say, what's the milta d'loktiva v'hayin yana? What doesn't it say in Tetzaveh? But it does say in Parsha Tzav. See, what does Rabbeinu Tam say? Prisha Shiva. Right, Prisha Shiva, right, as it says, it's hard to keep my Chumash open to both places at the same time, but at least in Parsha Tzav, it says that Moshe told Aaron and his sons, stay there for 7 days. And Itaka doesn't say that in Parshat in Parshat Tzav. The Tosos Rush in the next one, right, it's in parentheses and some. So when Moshe Kuki explains, there's two different manuscripts of Tosfos Rush. There's some pieces that are in one, not the other. They seem a little to contradict the ones that are in the other. They're, you know, I'd be a little skeptical about them. I'd be particularly skeptical about this Tosfos Rush, because the Tosfos Rosh, the next Beaver, in parentheses, meaning it's only in one manuscript, says it means the Avnate. The Avnate is written in Parshat Tzav and not written in Parshas, in Parshat Tzav, and we want to know if the Avnate is Ma'akev. Okay, the reason I'm a little skeptical about this shot of the Tosfos Rosh is not because it's in parentheses. I don't discriminate against him just because he is in parentheses, but because it's not true, because the Avnate is written both in Parshat Tzav and Parshat Tzav. So I'm not quite sure exactly what he means. You know, maybe he means something in particular about the Avnate, but then he should have said so. He just says the Avnate. So I'm not exactly sure what he means. I'll put it in parentheses. But the Tosfos Rosh himself in parentheses says the Avnate, which is just a little funny because the Avnate, as it says in the bottom of the Pei Odes, is discussed in great detail in both Parshiot. So that's a little bit of a tzarich. And there are a few other pshatim found in the Achronim, which we're not going to spend a lot of time on. The Sfas Emes gives two pshatim here. First, he says, like Rabbeinu Tam, like Tosfos, that is basically a Tosfos pshat number two. And then he says that it might be Rivui Shiva. Right? So says the Sfas Emes in his second pshat, it means Rivui Shiva, even though Meshicha Shiva is said in both. Rivui Shiva is definitely explained in Parsha Tzav, even though the Meshicha Shiva is said in both, because it does say in Parsha Tzav that that you should do the well, actually, in Parshat Tzav, it just, what is it missing in Parshat Tzav? What's missing in Parshat Tzav is it says, Shivat Yomim Tchaper L'Mazeach V'Kidashto Uto, 7 days, but it doesn't say to do everything for 7 days, right? It doesn't say to do everything for Aaron for 7 days. L'chor, the Riboy Shiva is Lavdavka. I don't see where it says Meshicha Shiva here either. It says to do Meshicha in Tzav. It says Lakakta et Shemana Mishchavi Atzatal Rosho Mashachta Oto. It obviously says to Riboy, meaning to put the garments on him once, but it doesn't say to do everything for 7 days. All it says is for 7 days to Chapar al Mizbeach v'Chidashto Oto.
Pasuk Lamed.
One second. Is that what I'm missing? Shabbat, no. So the Tzvas Emes addresses this. Pasuk Lamed is HaKohen Tachtav Mi Banav. It's talking about the next Kohen Gadol who takes over has to Riboy Shiva. But it never says Aaron has to Riboy Shiva. Now you understand why other people would disagree. They would say, don't make that distinction. But he says Riboy Shiva. Basically, the Tzavet only says to be Mechafen the Mizbeach 7 days, not to be Mekadosh Aaron 7 days. And in Parshas Tzavet, it says to be Mekadosh Aaron 7 days, but Shalom points out, it's not so Pasha, because it says when someone takes over from Aaron, you have to be Aaron 7 days, in which case you could say it's obvious Aaron himself. Okay, that you can see, take either way. The Chazan Ish gives another shot. He says it is Mikra Parsha. The Gemara later will say that even Mikra Parsha is Ma'akiv, and Moshe had to lane, but he had to say over this Parsha to the Jewish people verbally. So that doesn't say anything in the Tzav about saying over the Parsha verbally. But in Tzav, it does talk about saying over the Parsha verbally, because in Parsha Tzav, it says, here we are. Okay, so telling the people, the psukim that Hashem told Moshe. Okay, so we have 4 or 5 pshatim. Lamaisa, what do we want to discuss here? What we want to discuss here is 2 questions, one of which I think is more, the answer is more obvious than the other. If we take the 2 pshatim nirshonim, 2 mainstream pshatim nirshonim, let's ignore the achronim for now, the Rashi and Tosfos, we can call it. Why did Rashi not like Tosfos' pshat? And specifically, why did Tosfos not like Rashi's pshat? You know, you could always say Rashi didn't think of Tosfos' pshat, even though it's not so hard to think of. But why did Tosfos not like Rashi's pshat? Tosfos had Rashi, and they rejected him, right? Meaning, Tom is Rashi's grandson, and he rejected him. Why did Tosfos reject Rashi? So we all know the answer. It's obvious why Tosfos rejected Rashi. Why did Tosfos reject Rashi? Why didn't Toso say it's Urim V'Tumim that we're looking for the Mukkar being Ma'akev? Because Tosos L'shitasam and Dafka Falfam Days. The Gemara says we know a famous Masorah. There are a certain number of things missing. Let's call it five things or different lists missing from Aisheni. One of them is Urim V'Tumim. Says Tosan a Chafalfam Det. The Urim V'Tumim Hayu. There were Urim V'Tumim. Shem Lo Kein Hayu Kadu Gadim L'Chosu V'Gadim. Because without Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol would be missing a Beged. Meaning, without Urim V'Tumim, he wouldn't have a Choshen. It doesn't mean there were no Urim V'Tumim. It just means they didn't work. Like, they didn't answer any questions. But there were Urim V'Tumim, because without Urim V'Tumim, he's Mechoser V'Gadim. He only has seven garments. Meaning, the Urim V'Tumim is definitional to the Choshen. So therefore, Tosos L'shitase. Why didn't Tosfot agree? The answer is Pashut. L'shitasam Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. What does Tosfot say? Without the Urim V'Tumim, he's Mechoser V'Gadim. Meaning, without the Urim V'Tumim, it's not a Choshen. So if without the Urim V'Tumim, it's not a Choshen, then obviously Urim V'Tumim is Va'akev. Because it says he needs a Choshen. Right? You don't need a Makar. L'shitasam Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Shet B'li Urim V'Tumim. Ein kan choshen. Lachain. Ein havamina. Urim V'Tumim. Lo ma'akvi. Of course there's no havamina, it's not ma'akiv. Without it, there's no choshen. It's definitional to the choshen. If it's definitional to the choshen, then obviously it's ma'akiv. You don't need a mukkar. Oh, it doesn't say in tetzava to do Urim V'Tumim, but it says to put on a choshen. And by definition, a choshen includes Urim V'Tumim. Okay, that's Tosos L'shitasam. What would Rashi have to say? Rashi would have to say that Urim V'Tumim is not definitional to the Choshen. But of course Rashi says Urim V'Tumim is not definitional to the Choshen, because Rashi and Chumash, I gave you Rashi and Chumash here, says in Bayit V'Sheni there was no Urim V'Tumim. If there's no Urim V'Tumim, it can't mean he was Mechoser V'Gadim, right? A Kohen Gadol needs eight V'Gadim or else it's Mechoser V'Gadim. Obviously that shows it's not definitional to the Choshen. So it's obvious why Tosfos Rashi disagreed, meaning the Machlokas and our Sugya is just enough Kamin in the Machlokas about Urim V'Tumim. What's the Machlokas about Urim V'Tumim? Is it definitional to the Choshen, or is it an additional element which is not part of the Choshen? Okay, the nafkamina obviously is, what if you're missing Urim V'Tumim, right? What's the nafkamina? Again, these are not fancy Lundish nafkaminas. This is just explaining the end of the sentence. Nafkamina is, if there's no Urim V'Tumim, then, says Tosos, he's Mechoser V'Gadim, and Pashut, that it is Pasul, says Rashi, on Chumash, right, which matches Rashi here. No, it's fine, right? He's kosher lavoda. He's missing this very holy thing. You know, it's very sad to be missing the Urim V'Tumim. But there's nothing wrong with him, right? And therefore, what happened in Bayit Sheni, according to Tosfos, Hayu Urim V'Tumim, Aval, what's his lashon? There were Urim V'Tumim, but they didn't answer. They didn't do anything. Aval lo, Hayumishivim. While Rashi Ala Torah says very clearly that Lo Hayu Urim V'Tumim Klal. Okay, that is a obvious machlokes in the Nafkamina. What about our sugya? Right? What's our sugya? According to Rashi, it's about the Urim V'Tumim, because that's something that's not Ma'akiv L'Doros, and we need a makar, right? About not Ma'akiv L'Doros. If it's not Ma'akiv L'Doros, those are exactly the kind of things that we need a Makar, they're Ma'akiv in the Miluim. According to Tosos, no. It has to be a Pral Prisha Shiva, because Urim V'Tumim Ma'akvi L'Doros. Okay, how do the other Rishonim hold here? So we know this is a famous Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid.
Say that it's yes. An element. Isn't that then?
Hold on, one second. Let Jacob talk. Jacob? Yes, because the Choshen is written. He needs a Choshen, right? If Mechosar Begadim doesn't mean there are 9 Begadim. It means there are 8 Begadim, and the Urim V'Tumim are necessary for the Choshen. Let me give you an example, right? Or as they say, used to say when I was growing up, for instance. Let's say you had a Choshen, but the Choshen, or let's say that you had an Ephod, but the Ephod didn't have the Chetshev HaEphod. So what that means, of course it's Ma'atev. You don't have an Ephod. It's not an Ephod. It's a different thing. Let's say you had a tzitz, but it didn't have Kodesh written on it. It's not a baguette. So if the Urim V'Tumim is part of the Choshen, then of course it's Ma'akev in the Miluim. Not just H is Ma'akev L'Doros, but B, because it says Choshen. And the Choshen is Ma'akev. The Choshen is Ma'akev, that means all the parts of the Choshen are Ma'akev. I think that's obvious. Sorry, Morty or someone, what were you saying?
I was sort of asking the same thing. Isn't it a separate baguette? If it's an additional item, that but
if it's an additional item, we all know there's only 8 begadim in the Kohen Gadol. How do we know? Not just from Chazal, from the Pesukim. The Elo Avgadim Asher Yasu Choshen Veifodim Ve'iluch Tonet Hashpeit Mitznefet Ve'avnit, and not something else, right? Okay, Yesh Ladon. That's a good pasuk, but all over, it's clear that there's only 8 begadim. So if it's a separate item, it's not 9 begadim Yerim Chosher Begadim. There can't be 9 begadim. That's clear from the Pesukim. Chazal is only 8 begadim.
No, but if it's, that's what I was asking, if it's clearly that there's 8, if you call it an additional element, then you'd be counting 9, and you can't count 9, you have to count 8.
No, because it's not a beged, it's an Urim V'Tumim. The Kohen wears tefillin on a weekday, that's not an extra beged, that's a non-beged. The whole point is if it's something separate, it's a non-beged. He's allowed to eat begadim and a non-beged. So this is the Machlokes Rambam. Ravid, of course, says the Rambam of Urim V'Tumim Shayu Basheni Lo Hayu Meshivin Baruch HaKodesh. Right? There were Urim V'Tumim, but they didn't answer, like Tosos. So why did they have Urim V'Tumim? Lo Yosu also Nosel La Hashlem Shmona Begadim Koyin Gadim Tzishlo Yem Chosar Begadim. The Rambam is exactly like Tosos. Without Urim V'Tumim, he'd be Mechosar Begadim. The Rambam would obviously interpret our sugya like Tosos, or maybe like one of the Achronim. We have no idea. The Rambam is exactly like Tosos. So that Urim V'Tumim, it's not a Choshen, you're a Choshen B'Gadim, and by Shin, it had Urim V'Tumim, and the Ravid says back to him, follow Urim V'Tumim, Ruch HaKo, okay, he gives him technical problem, and then he says, V'Chisa B'Gadim Sh'omer Eino Klum, She'eino Mechesh B'na B'Gadim, he answers Morty's question, don't say it's a Choshen B'Gadim, it's a 9th thing that's not one of the count, it's not a Beged, it's an Urim V'Tumim. So the Ravid agrees with Rashi. Okay, so Machlok is Rashi and Ravid versus Rambam and Tosfos about what actually happened in Bayit Sheni. Now, here's one interesting question we just have to ask, which is maybe we always wondered about. What do the words Urim V'Tumim mean? Right, basic Bikias. Right, the problem is basic Bikias. Sometimes we get our basic Bikias from Rav Sedra with Rashi and we don't realize not so Pasha. What do the words Urim V'Tumim mean? What physically are these Urim V'Tumim? So, if you say that, what is it? We all know from when we're little kids. What did they teach us the Urim V'Tumim were?
Shema Mephoresh.
Special Shema Mephoresh of Hashem that was written on a piece of parchment and put into the folds of the Choshen, right? Because the Choshen was folded. So if it folded from the bottom, it could hold something. So you put the secret Shema Hashem in there, like the battery, right? It's the thing with lights. The battery inside is the Shema Hashem. Better than any...
Asaf is muted. What happened?
Sorry. Morty, can you still hear me? Just give me a thumbs up if you can hear me.
Now we can hear you.
Okay, great. Sorry. Okay. So what does it mean? So Rashi is very clear, and almost all Rishonim are very clear what it means. Basically, almost all the Rishonim talk explicitly are very clear. What is the Urim V'Tumim? Right? So here is a question. No. What is Urim V'Tumim? So Rashi and most Rishonim say it means Shemos that are in the folds of the Choshen. That makes a lot of sense for Rashi. It's not part of the Choshen. It's an additional element that is inside it. So here says Rashi and Rov Rishonim, Shemos Hashem. Okay, I don't know if it's a shame or shamos, whatever it is. You know, some secret, Kabbalistic, whatever, hidden names of Hashem that are the battery of the Choshen. However, it's not so pashut. It's not so pashut. What else could you say? Could you say Urim V'Tumim means? The Urim V'Tumim answer, right?
The Choshen himself. It's another synonym for the Choshen.
What happens when you ask? You ever ask the Kohen Gadol? What happens? The stones light up. Who answers? The stones. So Rash says, what does it mean, the Urim V'Tumim answer? The Urim V'Tumim are the battery, and they make the stones shine. But if you read it just simple, you would say the Urim V'Tumim answer. The stones are the Urim V'Tumim. What does it mean, V'nasata l'choshen so Urim V'Tumim? It means you put the stones into the choshen. Is it a little redundant? Okay, a few things in that parsha are a little redundant. It says the Mishpat Zot many times. It says the Shasharot many times. Right? Maybe the Urim V'Tumim are just another word for the Avnei HaChoshen. Right? So now for Rashi, of course that's not true. Rashi says you're not Mechosef or Gadim. It's an extraneous element. You're not missing anything. Obviously, it doesn't mean the Avnei HaChoshen, but for the Rambam and Tosfos, Yesh Ladin. What does the Urim V'Tumim mean? Does it mean, for Tosfos we know what it means, because we have like six pages of Tosfos on Chumash, and they all agree with Rashi. But for the Rambam, Yesh Ladin. For the Rambam, does it mean the stones? And therefore, obviously they had the stones of Bayit Sheni, their definitional, and there was no such thing as Shem Hashem. Or does it mean Shem Hashem? And he thinks the Shem Hashem is also definitional. So this is a big machlokas, how to interpret the Rambam. Says the Rambam. According to the Rambam, what does it mean? So what are the two possibilities? You could say that the Rambam, he says no. It means the Avnei HaChoshen. And there were no such thing as Shemos of Hashem. Who said they put anything inside the Choshen? There were never Shemos in the Choshen. It just means the Avnei HaChoshen, in which case Pashat, the Avnei HaChoshen is Ma'akev, and otherwise you're Mechos Begatim, and obviously they had Avnei HaChoshen by Sheni. That's Pashat. Or could you say, no, the Rambam agrees that it's Shemos Hashem. What's his Machlokes? His Machlokes is that Rashi thinks the Shemos Hashem are something extraneous, and the Rambam thinks that the Shemos Hashem are definitional to the Choshen. Oh, they're not attached, and they're not made of material, and they're not made of metal, and who cares? They're part of the Choshen. Chiddush. And then the Chiddush is that they are part of the Choshen, or it is. It's probably one shame of Hashem, right? The Chiddush is that it's part of the Choshen. What? Right. Okay. So yeah, we'll call it Shemus Hashem. Fine. We'll hedge our bets. Right. Okay. Now, which is the right shot in the Rambam? Right. Does the Rambam, he agrees there are Shemus and the Choshen, but he's mashiv them so much they're definitional to the heft of the Choshen. Or no, he denies Shemus entirely. Who believes in Shemus? Nah, it just means the stones. So this is the machlokas among the Nosei Kelim of the Rambam right here. The Evan Uzzel says very clearly that umuchach midvarav de'ikar ha'ur mitumim dahinu Hashem ha'mefurish lo yachasher gam b'sheni. This is the Evan Uzzel. No, the ikar is the shame, and they have the shame in Bayit Sheni. But the Mirkavis HaMishnah says, "Vari l'derech Rabbeinu v'yitan al choshen urim v'tumim kori l'avnei choshen ha'meirin urim v'tumim." This is the Mirkavis HaMishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is a little confusing. I admit, the Kesef Mishnah is a little confusing. What does the Kesef Mishnah say? He says in Beis Abachira Derek Dala Lecha Aleph at the very end, "Rabbeinu kori por urim v'tumim." L'choshen v'derech hash'ala. He calls the choshen the Urim V'Tumim, and how do you say hash'ala in English? As a borrowed term. I guess like it says in Hebrew. It's a borrowed term. What does a borrowed term mean? That's not what it usually means, but you could use it to mean something that it doesn't usually mean. The Kesef is trying to have his cake and eat it too. What's he saying? The choshen is called Urim V'Tumim v'derech hash'ala. That really Urim V'Tumim means something that's not the choshen. But over here, the Rambam means the Choshen. So the Kesef Mishnah is having cake and eating it too. Meaning, really Urim V'Thummim means Shemos Hashem. But when the Rambam used the word Urim V'Thummim here, he means the stones of the Choshen. So he is, so let's give him room for a third shot. I don't love the Kesef Mishnah. Why say Derech Hash'Allah when you don't have to? Let the Rambam say what he meant and mean what he said. But the Kesef Mishnah does say the Urim V'Thummim really means Shemot Hashem. There were Shemot Hashem, but in Bayit Sheni, there were only Avnei HaChoshen, and that's what is Me'akev. Meaning, he says there were Shemos, but the Shemos aren't Me'akev. Unlike the other two Pshatim, right? Me'akev's mission says there were never Shemos. The Evan Uzzel says there were Shemos, they're the Iker and they're Me'akev. Kesef Mishnah says there were Shemos, but they're not Me'akev. If there were Shemos, Urim V'Thummim means Shemos. How could they not be Me'akev? The Rambam says Urim V'Thummim Me'akev. They're Hashalah. The Rambam thinks it means different things in different places. Okay, I'm not so convinced by the Kesef Mishnah, but he's the Kesef Mishnah, so he gets a spot on the board. Now we just have to figure out who's right. There are three Pshat in the Akronim and the Rambam. Who's right?
The Rambam's son, in his Pirush al HaTorah, says it's the stones. He quotes Hachamim Omrim.
Abe points out that the Avram ben Arambam in the Chumash says it's the stones, like the Merkabas HaMishnah. Okay, I have Masorah from my Revi that Rav Avram ben Arambam usually had the wrong shot in his father. and you really see this in many, many, many places. And here, he's not even quoting his father. But nonetheless, we'll go with Abe and we'll say it's worth something, but I think we can do better. Agreeing with Dave. Okay, the Otsiot on the Avonim, interestingly. Okay, which the art section. Okay, so Chaim Kanievsky and Eve say Ravon and Rambam. I want to bring two other proofs, one of which is maybe a little less than Ravon and Rambam, one of which is more. First of all, there's this wild Rav Haigon. I tried to put Rav Haigon on the Makor sheet because I found in the Otsar Gaonim in two different paragraphs in Otsar Gaonim in Brachos. But you know, usually what's in the Otsar Gaonim, it says in the bottom, like where they got it from. They got it from this published book, from that published book, etc. And then you just find the published book and you put it in the Makor sheet. Both of these paragraphs in the Otsar Gaonim and Brachos that I put in brackets, it says in the little footnote, it's from a Geniza fragment that has never been published. And they're all like, you know, those Geniza fragment ones in Otsar Gaonim, it has like three words, an ellipsis, four words, an ellipsis, etc. You know, because like it was a little torn. Anyway, but it's very clear, Haigon in two different Geniza fragments in the Otsar Gaonim says Mefuresh, that the stones themselves are called the that it's the stones that are called Urim V'Thummim and nothing to do with any Shemos Hashem. So you have a Rambam ben Rambam, who's okay, definitely significant. You have Rav Haigon, who's not the Rambam, but certainly is a precedent. The Rambam knew many Rav Haigons. Right? So the precedent that the Rambam might have, meaning, keep in mind, the Rambam didn't know Rashi and didn't know Tosos and didn't know Vechuli, but he knew Rav Haigon, you know, directly or indirectly. Okay, none of those are proofs, but I think the proof is the Rambam himself, right? And the Perish Rishonais and Sota says the Rambam, defining the word Shamir, right? Remember, we all know the stories we learned as little kids about the Shamir. Baal Chai Shechokek Be'Even is a certain creature that can engrave in stone, and says the Rambam, Ubel Nechre to Urim V'Thummim. And the Urim V'Thummim were carved with a Shamir. They had in those days. The Rambam Mefurish. What did the Shamir do? It carved the Urim V'Thummim. If Urim V'Thummim made Shemus Hashem, what did it do to the Shamir? The Shamir carved the stones of the Ephod. Again, without the subtlety of whether it's the carving that's called Urim V'Thummim or the stones. You know, I don't think it's not such a big difference. It's Mefurish in the Rambam Perish Rishayim and Sota. Like for Ramban and Rambam. So here, Abe and Rechaim Kanievsky are justified, like Rav Haigon, which might have been where the Rambam got it from, and obviously Rav Haigon also got it from someplace. And so I think it's Pashut that this is the correct shot. This is the correct shot. What are the three rayas? One, Rav Avraham Bino. Two, Rav Haigon. And three, better than one and two put together, the Rambam himself. The Rambam, Perush Mishnayos. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah is Mefurish, that the Shamer carved Birur Metumah, which means Birur Metumah are stones. So here, the Machlokes, the Rambam, and Rashi is not that they both read the Shemos. The question is whether the Shemos are definitional to the Choshen, rather whether there's such thing as Shemos in the first place. Rashi said the Shemos, they're not definitional. Tosfos Lechora thinks there are Shemos, they were definitional, but the Rambam thinks there was never such thing as Shemos. And Urim Tumim just means the stones, or the carved stones, or the carving on the stones, which is, you know, it's all one thing for our purpose. Okay, good to know the Rambam Shita and what the words Urim Tumim mean. Okay, we'll leave this for now. I'll just to say over one suggestion from Rav Shach and the Avi Ezri. I asked two questions on the Makor sheet. Why did Tosfos not say Rashi? It's obvious why Tosfos didn't say Rashi. Tosfos she tossed them. That's a no-brainer. Why did Rashi not say Tosos? Why did Rashi not say it's talking about Prisha Shiva? Prisha Shiva is very clear that it's not listed in Tzave and it's listed in Tzav. There's no Prisha Shiva in Tzav at all. It is in Tzav. It has the advantage of having been mentioned earlier in the Gemara, right? Which is an advantage that we're talking about something already mentioned in the Gemara, not something new. Why did Rashi not say Tosos? So here you could just say Stam. I mean, why did anyone ever not say anyone? Rashi had a good shot, so he didn't need to say another shot. Rav Shach wants to suggest that maybe Rashi didn't say Tosot because Rashi thought that Prishat Shiva was a specific rule only for the Miluim. Maybe Rashi thought, no, any specific rule only for the Miluim is Pashid, that's Ma'akev Lefi Rav Yochanan. That is obvious that any specific rule of the Miluim is including Yasisha Le'aron Levan of Kacha, even without Prishat Shiva. That's not a specific rule of Miluim. That's a general rule of the Doros, of forever, right? For all generations. So maybe Rashi thought, nah, it's bad. There was no Havmin that Prisha Shiva is Ma'akev. That's a special rule for Miluim. The Havmin is just that Urmatumim is Ma'akev, so that's not a special rule for Miluim. Okay, could be, but not Mukhrach. It could be that Rashi didn't have a deep reason why he didn't say Tosos, but Tosos definitely had a logical reason why he didn't say Rashi. Okay, that's
all we have to say for Urmatumim. I have that here in the Masifta, and then Rebbe, I have that here in the Masifta in the name of the Griz.
It could be Rav Shach and the Griz said the same thing. Okay. I stand by my guns. Even if I quoted from someone who's not in the Masifta, it could still be true. Agav, there's a confusing Ibn Ezra, which I don't want to go into. The Ibn Ezra tries to define Urim Batumim. It's far from clear what he's trying to say. The Ramban, when he quotes the Ibn Ezra and rejects him, says he thought they were like little metalwork, magical things that were inside the Choshen. It's not clear if that's exactly what the Ibn Ezra meant or not. The Ibn Ezra might have a third shot about Urim Batumim are some sort of physical metalwork things that were in the Choshen. Okay, sounds a little borderline to us hashkafically. But, you know, Ksav, we're happy with. When the Ksav's on the stones or on a piece of paper inside. You know, little... You know, he didn't say figurines, Chas v'Shalom, but even little shapes of metal inside the Choshen are a little questionable, but it's not at all clear what the Ibn Ezra meant, so I'll just point out, look in the confusing Ibn Ezra, who seems to say it means something else, but we're not sure what he meant. Who, the little figurines? Ah, he made like little robots inside that went and turned the lights on. Okay, whatever, who knows? Okay, Viker, let's go back to
the Ibn Ezra is talking about an astrological device.
He's definitely talking about an astrological device. We know the Ibn Ezra held of astrology. He's definitely talking about an astrological device, correct? I mean, the Ramban in many places talks about how these things he called talisman or something, which I don't know exactly what they are, obviously related to the English word talisman, which is some sort of magical device, but I don't know what it is. But it sounds like something a little too weird and uncomfortable for us, some sort of astrological, the figurine, which actually gave the power to the Choshen, which is not the way we usually like to think about these things, certainly not my Maimonidean, and not even just comfortable for the average Orthodox Jew. So we'll leave the Ibn Ezra Bitzarki in for now. Okay, going on to the Gemara. The Gemara says, now it's obviously a tangent, Tana Rabbanan. Once we mentioned Kichin Tzuvesi, Kichin Tzivisi, Kichin Tzuvesi, Kasher Tzuvesi, Kasher Tziva Hashem. Moshe, in Parsha Shmini, these psukim are in Parshas Shemini, meaning this is a total tangent. Keep in mind, we darshan the kishkein suvesi of parsha Tzav for the ikur of things that are only written in Tzav, not the Tzav in the Miluim. Now, as a total tangent, we darshan a totally different pasuk of kishkein suvesi, which has nothing to do with the Miluim, which is after Nadav and Avihu die on the eighth day. But so it's not the same kishkein suvesi, but we darshan it because we brought up a kishkein suvesi. It says when Moshe tells. It sounds like when Moshe tells Aaron to eat the karbanos in Parsha Shmini after Nadav and Avihu died, he says three redundant things. Kichin tzivesi, kasher tzivesi, kasher tziva Hashem. Why do you need three redundant things? The Gemara says, kichin tzivesi v'aninus yochluha. One is the basic thing. Kichin tzivesi v'aninus yochluha. What was the chiddush? The chiddush is that Aaron and his sons were owning him because Nadav and Avihu died that day. Normally, an onen is usher and achilas kachim. There's a gzeras akasa or rasha for that one particular event. Then an onen is mutter in achilas kachim. Great. So that's the basic halachic kiddush. That's taka halachic kiddush. It's a rasha. So what do you need the second one? Kasher tzuvesi b'shas ma'isa amar lahem. Kasher tzuvesi b'shas ma'isa means once he told it them beforehand. As soon as none of any of you died, he said to them, right, what was the first one again? Hard to keep track of all the psukim. Kichin suvesi, what does he say? Va'achaltim osa, you should eat. Kuas ha-minchav yechlu matoseis olzeach. Take the mincha and eat it. Oh, we already know about eating the mincha. All the parsha tzav is about eating the mincha. No, the chiddush is, kichin suvesi, that even though you're an onen, you should eat it. So why do you have to say again, kasher suvesi? That's after he finds the burnt sarah chatas. Right? We remember basic Bible study. He finds the Sfeira Chatat was burnt, and he says, you should have eaten it, Kasher Tzuvesi. So Rashi says it means once he told them to eat it when they were in Aninos. Second time, he tells them, B'shas Maisa. He says, why didn't you eat it like I was commanded? So that's why you need twice, once to tell them to do it, second time, B'shas Maisa, to criticize them for not doing it. Okay, but what do you need the third time? It says you should take the kazeh tnuf and shoka truma and eat it. .. Kasher tziva Hashem. Why do you need a third time? So the answer is, I'm not saying it on my own. Okay, this Gemara, I wish I had a shot reading this Gemara. This Gemara makes no sense in the Pashif shot, because Velome Eli Ani Omer is already included in Like Hashem commanded me, eat it when you're in Aninos. Obviously, that means I'm not saying it on my own. It's like Hashem commanded me. Why do you need an extra one to tell you I'm not saying it on my own? Right? The first time says I'm not saying it. That's the whole point. The whole point is Hashem commanded me. You don't need to say Hashem commanded me twice to say it's not on my own. Hashem commanded me once would be enough to say it's not on my own. So, the all the Rishonim say, I more wish I had the guts to say against all the Rishonim. First, let's see what all the Rishonim say. All the Rishonim say that Veloma Eli and the Omer, they read something into Veloma Eli and the Omer. They have to read a Chiddush into Veloma Eli and the Omer. You know what? Who's really good at taking pictures recently? It was Yoni, no? You've gotten really good at this? So, what do all the Rishonim say? All the Rishonim say that Veloma Eli and the Omer can't just mean I'm not saying it on my own. Obviously, give me a second, hold on. Obviously, I'm not saying it on my own. Kasher tziva Hashem. Rather, it means some additional element. What additional element did he have to say? So it's talking about after the Sarah Chatas. Let's remember what happens. The eighth Sarah Chatas, the rose, the Rosh Moshe Vini Sarach, he found they burned the Sarah Chatas. We'll say only according to one shot in the Tanoim, which works well for our Gemara, which all the Rishonim are based on, which is that there were three Chatases that day. Right, because according to the mainstream opinion in the Mefarshim, the eighth day was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So there are three chatases. One was the chatas of the Yom HaShemini, of the Milum, the eighth day. Second was the chatas of Nachshon, when the 12 Nisim did brought for Chanukah HaMizbeach, in Tarshish Naso. And third was it was Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, you always have a Seir Chatat. So they found the Seir Chatat of Rosh Chodesh was burnt. And Moshe says, why didn't you eat it? You're supposed to eat it by Aninos. That's v'shas ma'isa amar lahem. First he told them, eat the mincha by Aninos. Then he says, v'shas ma'isa, why didn't you eat the Seir Chatas by Aninos? And they answered to him, Aaron answered to him, again, according to the pshat that the Rishonim think fits best with our Gemara, Aaron answered to him, no, that it's only a harashah to eat kachim by Aninos. The harashah only makes sense for kachim shah. Harashah, one time, one-time license. The one-time license is for the one-time korbanos. What are one-time korbanos? The korban and the Yom HaShmini. There's only one Yom HaShmini ever in history. The korban of Nachshon. There's only 12 days of Chanukah, Samizbeach, Halidah, and Nesiyim in history. But the korban of Rosh Chodesh, that's Kodshei Doros. That's the regular routine of every month. And Misvara, the Horashah, should only apply to the special things that are one-time historical occurrences, not to the monthly routine. And then Moshe admitted that they were right. So what do you need, Velomai Eli, any Omer? Let's just put on the board. What does it mean? Velomai Eli, ani Omer. So says Rashi. Says Rashi. It means if before Moshe admitted he was wrong, right? Before Moshe admitted he was wrong, you're saying don't. Make the same mistake by Chazei V'Shok. Again, I'm using by in the Yiddish sense, right? Don't make the same mistake by Chazei V'Shok, says Moshe. That you made by the Sa'ir Chatas. Don't make the same mistake by Chazei V'Shok that you made by the Sa'ir Chatas. Sa'ir Chatas you burnt instead of eating. Don't repeat your mistake by the Chazei V'Shok. Right? So first he tells him, eat the mincha. Then he says, why didn't you eat the Sa'ir Chatas? And then he says, you messed up the Sa'ir Chatas. Don't also mess up the Chazei V'Shok. Make sure to eat them. The other Rishonim here say something very, very similar. The Tosfos Yeshanim and the Tosfos Rosh and the Ritva. Again, the Tosfos Yeshanim and Tosfos Rosh almost always say the exact same thing anyway. Say that what did Moshe say? That this is after Moshe admitted his mistake, right? Meaning, for Rashi, it's before Moshe admitted his mistake. For the other Rishonim, it's after Moshe admitted his mistake. He says, you're right, I made a mistake about the Seir Chatat. But I am not mistaken about Chazei V'Shok like I was about Sa'ir Chatat. That's why you need an extra one. Even though I made a mistake about Sa'ir Chatat, I'm not making a mistake about Chazei V'Shok. Now I'm reoriented properly. Okay, the part that's a little dachuk about both of these pshatim is that what is what do the Rishonim say? You have to say the psukim are out of order because the pasuk of V'loma Eli Eni Omer Kasher Tziva Hashem. What is the order in the Torah? The order in the Torah is Kichin Tzuvesi Kasher Tziva Hashem Kichin. Tuvesi, Kasher, Tziva Hashem, and Kasher Tuvesi. And what do you have to do? You have to take this pasuk of Kasher Tziva Hashem, which is the pasuk of Velomai Eli Ani Omer, right? Kasher Tziva Hashem, Velomai Eli Ani Omer, and you have to move it here and say Ein Mokta Mocha B'Torah. As we know, Rashi and apparently Tosos here in the Ritva also have no problem saying in Mukta Mukha B'Torah, as opposed to the famous Ramban al-Torah in places, who says we don't believe in a Mukta Mukha B'Torah except in very limited circumstances for special reasons. Anyway, you have to move the pasuk out of order. That's a little dachuk, but it's not so dachuk because that's the Gemara's order. The order in the Torah is 1, 2, 3. We have to move it. But the order in the Gemara is a BC. So they're saying, yeah, it might be Dachin saying Mokhtim Mokhtim Torah, but we're not the ones that said Mokhtim Mokhtim Torah. The Gemara already said Mokhtim Mokhtim Torah because the Gemara switched the order. If the Gemara switched the order, that's a good smach that it's not Dachin saying Mokhtim Mokhtim Torah because why did the Gemara switch the order? Obviously, the Gemara switched the order for a reason saying Mokhtim Mokhtim Torah. Okay, those are two possible pshatim. Then it's Siv says a third pshat here. It says the same thing on Chumash. He says, no, it can't be so redundant. It has to be something totally different. Baninos yochlu is varachilu baninos. Peshas mais is varachilu baninos, but peshas mais, we know. Rashi says many times this, Chumash, you remember. We always tell someone something once and tell them again, peshas mais. Especially here, if they did it wrong, peshas mais, we say something. What did the third say? The third one is not about eating. The third one is about hanofa. Because what did the pasuk say? It's a little funny. The pasuk of Kasher Tziv Hashem is the Eif Kazeya Truma V'Eishat Nufa V'Eishokat Truma Tochlu, etc., 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 etc. Then he says Lahanif Tznufa. Then it goes back to eating. Vayalachal V'Nachar Halachok Olam. Tashas, we're talking about eating, but he says no. It also mentions the waving there. So then Tziv says here. After you could say, I think it's a little dochuk in the Gemara, that it means hanafas hashok ledoros. What do I mean by le? Ledoros? That they used to do in the Shishrim Lum, that was different, okay. He said the Shishrim Lum was different when they did snoof on the shok because the shok was burnt. Here it's talking about shok that's eaten. Hanafas hashok. Hanafas hashok, he's saying this hanafas hashok, which I don't have a clear mucker for in the psukim until now, you should know it's from Hashem. It has nothing to do with eating. Okay. On the one hand, the advantage is not redundant. On the other hand, like, it doesn't seem to be the topic. Okay, so those are three pshatim as to what is going on in this sugya. I would just point out that if you just want to say the pashup shot, I don't know if pashup shot is too hard. Pashat, you'd say, is that, one pasuk is to say Hashem commanded you to eat a baninos, and the other pasuk to say, Hashem really commanded I didn't say to my own. Ah, that can't be. Maybe one pasuk could say Hashem commanded you, and the second pasuk could say, not that Hashem commanded you, Hashem commanded you explicitly. But, it's not so maduik in the psukim. Chin tzuvesi sounds like yudgimol midos, kasher tzuvesi sounds like, directly. It's more the opposite, but maybe you could say, that's sort of the pashup shot, right? The push-up shot was that, to tell you, it's not a tzivoy Hashem al yedei yud gimel midos shahatora nidreshet bahen. Don't think that when I said Hashem commanded you to yud gimel midos, but rather an explicit tzivoy. But it's an explicit tzivoy. However, I understand why the Rishonim didn't want to say this. Because everything Moshe said was an explicit tzivoy, right? Meaning, Moshe never told them anything else from Yud Gimel Midos. Everything Moshe said was an explicit tzivoy. So why would they just have it happen to hear? All of a sudden, you start to become a kofer. What does it mean? Every place else, you should think maybe Moshe made it up in Yud Gimel Midos and he didn't really hear it from Hashem. So it's a little difficult. I understand why people don't want to say it, even though it's the push of shot. Okay, so we have three pshatim. I just wanted to point out an interesting tangent here. The interesting tangent is in the Ritva. What does the Ritva say? Let me read you the lashon of the Ritva, and I'm not going to spend all day on it, but I think it's worth mentioning. Let me just find the Ritva. Sorry, excuse me for half a second. Here's the Ritva. Says the Ritva. Perish. V'lo bin libi ani omer. Right? Okay, instead of me'elai, he has me libi. Same thing. Perish gabi mincha ksiv. Chues ha-mincha noseres me'ishe Hashem ve'chlu ha-matzos v'chuli. V'achal temo sob mechom kadosh. Ki chaka v'chaka nech me'ishe Hashem ki chin tzuvesi. Amar lehem she'yuchlu ha-baninot. Ki chin etzav moshim ki ha-gvura. Kasher tzivedi v'shat ma'isa amar lehem, etc. Kavanas ha-inyan. Ki kshamatzer she'sorfos yirachatat kulo ka'at moshal lehem 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 etc. What does he say? Etc. One second. Here we are. Behind you, Kasher Tziv Hashem Lo Milivi Ani Omer, the last Ritva. Gabi Chazei Atznufa V'Shokat Truma Dishar Chatos Dekotshe Shaksiv. Okay, so what does the Ritva add that's interesting? Let's think about this case. Moshe says, I'm not mistaken the way it was about the Seir Chatat. So the Ritva says, hold on a second. What's the Havmi that he was mistaken? After all, right, if he Hashem really told you to eat the Mincha Baninos, then why didn't he say, I'm not mistaken, you should also eat the Chazei V'Shoka V'Kadshei Shah Baninos? Right? Meaning, what does this sound like? Sounds like, what's the Havamina? What's the Havamina that Moshe was mistaken about Chazei V'Shok? After all, Hashem told him to eat the Mincha. What's the Havamina Moshe was mistaken about Chazei V'Shok? So I think there are two ways to understand this. One answer could be, which is not the Ritva, is, no. They suspected he was mistaken about the Mincha as well. Let's review what these three psukim are talking about. Ki chein tzuvesi is referring to achilas Mincha. Kasher tziva Hashem is referring to, the Kasher Tziva Hashem is referring to the Chazei V'Shok, and Kasher Tzuvesi, or let's do it in the order of the Ritva, right? I want to go in the order of the Ritva, right? He says, Ein Moktim Mokha B'Torah. Kasher Tzuvesi is talking about the Sa'ir Chatas, and Kasher Tziva Hashem is talking about the Chazei V'Shok. I assume he meant Chazei V'Shok of Shlomim, even though he has some word Chatas here. Okay, so what's the Havim? What does he say? Mincha eat Baninos. Sar Chatas, he thought they should have eaten Baninos, but then it turns out he was wrong. He says, I'm not mistaken about Chazei V'Shok, like it was about Tzir Chatas. What's the Havim you're mistaken about Chazei V'Shok? Chazei V'Shok is, this is Kadshei Sha'ah, this is Kadshei Doros, and this is Kadshei Shah. He already explained differently Shah and Doros. What's the Havmina that he was mistaken? So you could say, no, maybe they thought he was mistaken the whole time and he never heard anything from Moshe. And he never heard anything from Hashem. That's not the Ritva. The Ritva doesn't like that. What do you mean? Once they explained the difference between Doros and Shah, why should they think he was mistaken about the Chazei V'Shok? Says the Ritva, and this is Dachuk. So the Ritva says, I have a good explanation. No, maybe the heter of achilas kodshei shah, remember kodshei shah means one time karbanos, ba'aninos is only for menachos and not zvachim. Menachos being flower offerings, zvachim being animal offerings. Maybe, what did he say? Once I made a mistake and I extended the kodshei doros inappropriately and Hashem really only made kodshei shah, maybe I also made a mistake and I extended it to Zvachim inappropriately, and Hashem only meant Menachos. So he said, no, lo mi libyani omer. Hashem told me explicitly both Menachos and Zvachim. Okay, that's the Ritva. Here, without going into it too much, but I just want to point out it's a funny Havamina. Why should there be a Havamina that they should eat the Menachos behorah Shah, but not eat the Zvachim behorah Shah? Right? It's a funny Havamina. Right? What's the Svara of the Havamina? And here, if I want to, I could always just write the same thing. Meaning, maybe there's no Svara, maybe Stam, they were just not such good Lamdanim. They had a Havamina without a Svara, but maybe there is a Svara, and that's what I want to point out. Maybe there is a Svara for the Ritva.
What's the problem? I mean, in principle, Mincha is not Busser. What, an Onan can eat flour, dough?
No, not once it's a Karban. An Onan can eat. An Onan Midoraisa can eat meat also, just not once it's a Karban. Right, remember, the fact that an Onan doesn't eat meat nowadays only Midrabanan, and that's not going to be relevant here. So, I think it's interesting that there could be a fundamental difference between Menachos and Zvachim. Why do I think there could be a fundamental difference between Menachos and Zvachim? As the Netziv points out very nicely, that if you look in Vayikra, You want to look in Vayikra. Everyone's wondering about this. We're not doing a Chumash year here. In Parshas Vayikra, it goes through the Korbanos one by one, tells you the rules. Then in Parshas Tzav, it goes through Korbanos one by one and tells you the rules. Okay, what exactly is precisely the difference between Vayikra and Tzav is not our question right now. But let's ask, what about Achilas Korbanos? So in Tzav, it talks all about who eats which Korbanos. Starts with Ola, obviously no one eats Korbanos. Then it goes to Mincha. Vanoterim imena yochlu aron vanav matzote achel, etc. Called the korban aron yochlena, etc. Then it goes to chatat. Hakohen hamachateotai yochlena makom kadosh teachel, etc. Called the korbanim yochalota, etc., etc. Then it goes to asham, and it says, hakohen asheyicha called the korbanim yochlena, etc., etc. Then it goes to shlamin. Biyom Korbano Yeachel, or Biyom Akivot Zivcho Yeachel Mimacharat Vanotar Menu Yeachel, but Biyom Ashlishi Ba'eshi Sarif, etc., etc., and you can't eat a betuma, etc. Right? So, we have all the rules of Achila in Parshat Tzav. How about in Parshat Vayikra? In Parshat Vayikra, let's go backwards. Perek Hay, we have an Osham, says nothing about who eats it. Perek Dalet and Hey, we have a Chatas, says nothing about who eats it. Perek Gimel, we have a Shlomim, which is all eaten by the Bailam almost, says nothing about who eats it. Perek Aleph is an Ola, it's not Shayach, no one eats an Ola anyway. Perek Beis a Mincha, says, Vanoteret min mincha li aron uvanav kodesh kodeshim me'ishei Hashem. And again, Vanoteret min mincha li aron uvanav kodesh kodeshim me'ishei Hashem. I didn't just read the same pasuk twice. It's just the same pasuk appears twice. So all of a sudden, only mincha is eaten in Parshas Vayikra. Why is only mincha eaten in Parshas Vayikra and not anything else that the Netziv wants to know? Right? So, what is the what's the answer? Right? So he explains. One second. B'chol ha'korbanos lo nizkar v'zat sidra inin achilas kohanim motorot kadshim. Ad parshas tzav. Zulat b'mincha, except in mincha. Hayinu k'mo shekatavti le'el v'shem ha'torah kohanim d'gimel adzkar yish b'mincha v'chilat kohanim yadzkar b'tnei atzim lo'ak toras komets mishum hachi u'shayach l'ikar ha'korban mashe'enken shar achilas kohanim inu el tofel ha'k toras emurim. All the other achilas kohanim is somehow a tofel. But the achilas kohanim in the mincha, that's more of an ikar azkara. Now here you have to be subtle because the Gemara says in a few places, Kohanim Oklin Ubaylam is kaprim by many things, right? The achila of the Kohanim is not just stam fressing, has significance all over, but apparently a special significance in the mincha. Why is that? I think here's something pashut. The azkara. What's the hakrava? Someone who learned a little zvachim menachos on a basic, you know, little medrash says level, tell me, what are the avodos that are ma'akev in the kapara of a karban? What's mechaper in a zevach? Zevach meaning animal sacrifice. What's mechaper?
Zrikat adam.
Dam is mechaper, right? Ki adam hu, banefesh yechaper. Remember, could smicha be ma'akev? No, only dam is ma'akev. Could smicha be ma'akev? Only dam is ma'akev. Is Akhtar say more ma'akev? No, only dam is ma'akev, right? The dam, you have shchita, kabbalah. Shchita takes the dam out, kabbalah catches it, halacha brings it back, and zrika throws it on the zeach. That's the kapara. Everything else is gravy. That's by a zevach. By a mincha, what's the parallel? The parallel to the dam by a mincha is the komets.
Komets. Right?
And you have the same for avodos. The kmitza takes the komets out of the mincha. The kiddush kli puts it into a kli. Halacha brings the mizbeach, and haktorah puts it on the mizbeach. Okay, what's the difference in the dam of an animal and the komets of a mincha, obviously, in a very basic physical level? What's the dam of the animal and the komets of the mincha? I mean, British people do. The dam is not the same as the busser of the animal, right? The dam is one thing, the busser is another thing. A dam of a nefesh echaper, and the busser is not the mechaper, the busser is for other things. Right? This is very clear. There's the mechaper, and there's the rest of it. The rest of it's very holy, and you have to do very special things with it, right? what a mincha, what's the difference between the komets and everything else? I don't know, the komets got into your hand and the rest of it didn't. It's the same thing. Meaning, why does it keep calling the komets the azkara of the mincha? The dam is not the azkara of the zevach. The dam is the dam and the basar is the basar. But in mincha, it's all one mincha. What I want to claim here, and this is, I think, what's behind this nitziv, is that by the mincha, the komets is not just matzah. We know from Sechas Zvachim, right? Anyone who's been in Kodjim Kol beforehand knows the dam is matzah, the basar, and the komets is matzah, the shirayim. But the dam is matzah, the basar. But the dam does not represent the basar. The dam is dam, and basar is basar. The komets is azkarata. The komets is the representation of the entire mincha. Basically, the entire mincha is mechaper. Why should one komets be mechaper more than everything else? It's all one mincha. It's just quantitative. So what I'm claiming is that by zvachim, there's a qualitative difference in dam and the basar. The basar is not the dam. The dam is not the basar. There are two qualitatively different levels. When it comes to the mincha, it's only a quantitative difference. Right? And when it comes to a mincha, therefore, really, so I want to say two things. The mincha, this is what I want to claim. When it comes to the mincha, even the Achilas Kohanim, we know the concept in Shas. Now, I don't have great halachic words to describe this, but I have great rayas for it. Of a Kohanim Mishulchan Kavoa Kazachu, right? Mishulchan Kavoa Achlu. That when the Kohanim eat the Kodshim, and maybe even the Bailam, according to some Rishonim, you know, they're really eating as representatives of Hashem. So that's true. In all Karbanas, the Kohanim maybe are really eating as representatives of Hashem, Mishulchan Kavoa, not on their own cheshbon. But there's a different level by Menachos and by Zvachim. By Zvachim, the Kohanim get a gift from Hashem, but that's being eaten. The whole level of everything after the Dam is a lower level. It's not the Iker Kapara. By Menachos already, the Achilas Kohanim is I don't know if I, you know, a higher level of Shulchan Kavod Kazachu. By Menachos, the whole thing really should be burned on the Mizbeach. By Menachos, the whole thing should be burned on the Mizbeach. Not that the whole thing is hektish and the Kohanim get me Shulchan Kavod Kazachu. The whole thing should be burned on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Achilas Kohanim is not a side point, a tafel, a tertiary level. You know, there's Dam, Haktor, Seymurim, and Achilas Kohanim. No, the Achilas Kohanim is almost the same level. It's an Azkara, as the Nitziv says. Nitziv goes very far. Azkara is a Lashon that almost like it's the Iker Kapara. The Achilas Kohanim is the Iker Hakrava of the Mincha, and is only the tafel in the Hakrava of the Zeva. That's what the Nitziv is trying to say. Right? That is a big chiddush, but I could bring you many rayas, right? That here we have Achilas, Menachos, and Zvachim. By Menachos, it is from the Iker Kapara. And by Zvachim, it is a Tafel, or Azkara in the Lashon Nitziv. What are the rayos? I didn't really leave myself enough room, but raya number one is only Parshas Tzav, you have Achilas Zvachim, but even, it's also in Tzav, but even in Parshas Vayikra, which is the Iker Kapara, do you have Achilas Menachos? And a second Raya is, fascinatingly, what are you not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach to Hashem? Louder. You're not allowed to bring chametz on the Mizbeach to Hashem. Okay, interestingly, you go to Parshas Tzav, Kichol Sa'or V'chol Devash, Lo Zaktiru Menu Shel Hashem. Right? You're not allowed to bring chametz on the Mizbeach to Hashem. Okay, what else is not allowed to be chametz?
Mincha.
Which part of the Mincha?
All of it.
Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Okay. The whole lo teafech hametz chal kam natati yot hameishai. What did they in Parshat Tzav? That it's not just the mincha itself. It is, one second, Even the Shirayim can't be chametz. Now again, that doesn't prove anything. So there's no parallel to chametz by Zochim, but it is striking, right, that the Eser chametz applies even to Shirayim. The Eser chametz applies even to Shirayim. Now again, I don't have a parallel Eser by Zochim that doesn't apply to the Busser. So it's not a proof of anything, but it's definitely indicative of something. Now, I think the interesting proof is, again, it's a shita we don't paskin like. But you know, just who don't paskin like a shita, you always have to ask, if we don't paskin like a shita, is that because he makes a certain lemdish assumption that we totally reject and we say he misunderstood the basic concepts? Or no, we're maskin to his understanding of the basic concepts, so we just don't think you have to take it so far in terms of being machmer halacha l'maisa. We have machlokes of Yochem Eishlok, it's very complicated, called Shirayim Shechosru Bein Kmitza Lahaktara. What if the Kohen takes the Kometz, and then some of the Shirayim gets destroyed, or Tameh, or whatever it may be, right? He takes the Kmitza, he's on the way to the Mizbeach, and before he gets to the Mizbeach, some of the Shirayim goes missing. What's the parallel case? I shecht an animal, right? I'm taking the blood to the Mizbeach, not me, I'm not a Kohen, but a Kohen taking the blood to the Mizbeach, and meanwhile, some of the meat goes missing. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Just like everyone agrees if some of the meat went missing. The machlok is if all of it goes missing. If some of the meat gets destroyed, you can still do Zrikas Adam. You don't need the whole bus to do Zrikas Adam. So too, you don't need the whole Shirayim to do Zrikas Adam. If some of it got flushed down the toilet, not a big deal. Reish Lakish says, no, we're machmer by mincha. By a zevach, if you don't have all the bus, you can still do Zrikas Adam. But by the mincha, if you don't have all the Shirayim, you can't put the kometz on the Mizbeach. Now, we don't talk like Reish Lakish, I know. But still, it's revelatory of something. What does that mean? By a zevach, you don't need all the basar to justify Zrikas Adam. By the mincha, according to Reish Lakish, you need all the shirayim in order to be makter the kometz. Why? Because by a basar, I know the dam has a relationship to the basar. But the dam and the basar are not the same thing. If some of the basar is missing, it's not a pagam in the dam. By a mincha, the kometz and the mincha are the same thing. If some of the mincha is missing, then it's missing. The kometz. As Torah saw, the kometz is merely mazkir the whole mincha. The dam is not mazkir the basar. The dam is its own kapara. The kometz is mazkir the mincha. So therefore, we would say number three, shitas reish lakish, which is that by a zevach, you can, or see how it can fit into the space. Zorik es hadam afilo em chaser habasar. Even if some of the basar got destroyed, let's say there's only kazayas of basar left. Even if there isn't yesh ladon. But for sure, if there's a kazayas of basar left, you can do zrikas hadam. But eino makdir komet im chasru hashirayim anything, meaning even kol shehu, afilu kol shehu, even if a tiny one speck of the shirayim is missing, you can't burn the kometz. Why? Because the kometz and the shirayim are the same thing. The kometz and the shirayim are the same thing. I also think this might tie into something else. If you ask, why would the shirayim of a mincha be a higher madriga of kapara than the basar of a zevach? One answer might be because physically it's the same thing as the kometz, not two different things. It's just one thing which represents the rest of it. The dam doesn't represent the basar. The kometz represents, as karasa, perhaps the shirayim. But I think there's something else also. What did the word mincha mean? Anyone know what the word mincha means in biblical Hebrew? What? A gift. How do we know mincha means a gift?
Yeah.
Yaakov, right? Mincha le'isavachim. Right. And many other places, but that's the famous one in the Chumash. Right? Mincha means a gift. Why does mincha mean a gift? So when you bring a korban, mincha, you're bringing a gift to Hashem. Here it's interesting. Again, we're getting into things that we're not going to fully explore. Right? This is just a tangent, but it's such a tantalizing one that we can't skip it. The A mincha is a gift. Why is a korban mincha called a gift? Why is a zevach not called a gift? After all, isn't that also a gift? So I think the answer is pashat. When you bring a zevach, ki adam hu benefesh yechaper, there's a life there. The life is mechaper, right? It's not about giving a gift. It's about sacrificing a life, right? With all the symbolic, with all the loaded symbolism that the Ramban talks about. When a mincha, there's no life there. You're not sacrificing a life. Rather, you're giving a gift. What I'm claiming here is that when it's zevach, the ikar thing you're doing is giving up a life. In a mincha, the ikar thing you're doing is giving up property. A mincha, you're bringing Hashem a gift. The gift is the physical mincha, not the life. Here's an interesting point. If the gift is the mincha, then the whole mincha belongs to Hashem. You gave a whole gift to Hashem. If you give a gift to Hashem, how do the Kohanim eat it? The answer is Kohanim, not just regular Mishulchan Gavur Kazachu. Their eating is mamish like the eating of Hashem. And I think that if you agree with this, you can understand something interesting. If a Kohen brings his own Karban Chatas, is that any different than Yisrael's Chatas?
No.
No. Yeah, same. No. If a Kohen brings his own Karban Shlomo, is it any different from Yisrael's Shlomo? No. But if a Kohen brings his own Karban Mincha, what happens?
A Kohen, none.
Not Kohen. Kalil Tia, lo Teachel.
Kalil Tia.
No Achila. You have to burn it all. It's all the Kohen Ki'ilu. Okay, the whole machlokes, do you burn the komets and the rest separately or together? Okay, but it's all the komets. Why? What's pshat? I think pshat is this. When it comes to zvachim, the dam is the ikker. Everything else is the tafel. Okay, so everything is the tafel. Who cares who brought it? When it comes to the mincha, the ikker is giving the whole mincha to Hashem. The komet is just a representative. So if Yisrael comes, he gives it all to Hashem. If Hashem decides his mizbech is going to burn some, and the Kohanim are going to eat some, fine. If a Kohen would eat his own mincha, that would be a pagam. How can the Kohen eat his own mincha? Then he hasn't given it all as a mincha to Hashem. It's not a gift to Hashem if he eats his own mincha. It doesn't matter if he eats his own chatas. A chatas doesn't have to be a gift. It's a life. It doesn't matter if he eats his own shlomo. Shlomo doesn't have to be a gift. It's a life. But he can't eat his own mincha. And once he can't eat his own mincha, then you have to say other Kohanim can eat it. He can't. So mincha's Kohen kol tia lo teachel. Meaning maybe the reason why Mincha's Kohen is burnt is because since it has to be a Mincha, it has to all be a gift to Hashem, it can't be eaten by the guy who brought it. It's not a regular Shulchan Kavoah. A Chatz is eaten by Kohanim because they're really holy and they deserve a tip. No. A Mincha is eaten by Kohanim not because they're holy and they deserve a tip. They're eaten by Kohanim because they're mamish acting as the mouth. Hashem doesn't have his own mouth, so they're acting as Hashem's mouth and eating for him. Okay, but I can't eat my own Mincha. That's a begam in the hakrava. I can't be makriv to myself. I can't give a gift to myself. So I think it's just interesting that if you ask why Minchas Kohen has a special rule and Chatas Kohen and Asham of a Kohen and Shalmei Kohen don't have a special rule, it may be because what's the special rule? The special rule is no achila. Because the achila zvachim, it doesn't matter if the guy who brings it eats it. It doesn't matter if Shlomo and the guy who brings it also eats it. It's wonderful if the guy who brings it eats it. Sometimes the guy who brings it eats it. Sometimes the Kohen eats it. Sometimes the guy who brings it is a Kohen and he eats it. Wonderful. Because the eating is tough. By a mincha, the eating is the hakrava. I can't eat my own carbon and say I was makrivit to Hashem. I can eat the tuffel of my carbon. I can't eat the ikar of my carbon and say I gave it to Hashem. So I think it's just nicha. Again, this is already on the level of Tamei Mitzvahs, not Lamdas. But minchas Kohen. As long as he was well, here's who eats it. There's not for who eats it. Iker kapar. Get the own carbon. It's got an iker kapar. Especially with a theme when you give a gift. You can't give a gift and keep it for yourself, right? The teenage wife, right, buys his mother a football for Christmas, right? So it doesn't work that way. You can't buy a football with Kachel.
Is there a problem with the voice by you? The Rav fell? His computer fell?
Yeah, something broke just now.
Yeah. In the middle of eating the mincha. In the middle of not eating the mincha.
switch to the gallery if you want.
Our co-host should tell the Rav.
No. He's still going on.
Anyone have his number? Anyone have his number? Should I call somebody in the share? Should I call somebody in the share?
Good idea.
Okay, I just wrote him. I think he sees.
Hi. Can you tell Rebbe that we lost him on Zoom? Yeah. Shkaya.
No, he sees.
Oh. Once again, I'm going to restart the Zoom meeting. And good then.
The recording is continuing now, so.
Hold. For me, it's not here at all. I wonder if I used up my monthly, what's it called? Could that be?
No. It would keep on going.
Okay, Morty, can you hear me? Hold on.
You're on, but your camera is off.
Looks to me that the cell phone, Rebbe, that the cell phone's not connected. And it's just from your laptop.
Password.
He's connected.
What?
He's con-
I think Rebbe, the cell phone is disconnected.
Your camera is not. Oh, should be okay now.
Okay, I am on now. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I know you can't see the board very well now. I know you can't see the board very well now because I think I might have used up my internet for the month and still please that you have a good picture of the board and but for now let's just go on.
Turn off your video. Using up the bandwidth. Rebbe, turn off your video. It's using up the bandwidth and we can barely hear.
Thank you. You really need to fix the technology. Oh. Okay, can you hear me normally now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give this a try. I'm on a new connection. Okay, sorry. Let's go Vayikra and the Gemara then. I think we're ready to move on in the Gemara now that we understood this, the whole deep inyan that was hinted at in the Ritva. Continuing the Gemara. I'm Rav Yehuda bar Chanina. Michnasayim ain't tuvim b'parsha. I'm going to need you a second to get the board. Michnasayim ain't tuvim b'parsha. Michnasayim are not written in parsha. In what parsha? In the parsha of Tetzaveh. It never says that they should put on Michnasayim, just the other three or four. Includes the mechnasayim. We call them mechaschinah that a kohen has to bring. We assume means a kohen gadol has to bring a sirat ha'efa mincha every day. That's called kavitin in the mishnayos later on, and a kohen hedyud has to bring it when he starts. So those things are nisgrave by zadavar. Bishlam mechnasayim kivim v'gadim. I understand why Vizat Dover includes Mechasayim, because Vim means continuing from the previous parak. The previous, not just parak, the previous pasuk, the very end of parak of Chet said Mechasayim, the very beginning of parak of Tet said Vizat Dover, so Vizat Dover is coming from Arbe, what came right beforehand in the pasuk, which is the Mechnasayim. So that makes perfect sense. But how do we know it's a remez to Asir Ta'ifa? El Asir Ta'ifa Menola, Atya Zeh Zeh, Mizeh Karban Aron Avonav Shehu Lashem, even though it's not written near this wall, but here it's Lashem Zeh, and by Asir Ta'ifa it says the word Zeh, so that's Asir Ta'ifa. Asir Ta'ifa, that's the pasuk. Amar of Yochanan, Mishim Rashim Ba'ichah, Yinayin Sa'af Mikor Parashim Akev, as long as we're darshaning Zeh Hadavar, even though here it's not the same Zeh Hadavar, how do we know that even, this is where the Chazaka's idea from, even reading the Parsha is Ma'akeh, that it says that I told Moshe, tell Bnei Yisrael what you have to do, meaning read them the Parsha. No, if he read it from a scroll, he might have read it from memory. But how do you know that even that Ma'akeh? Talmud Ve'yom Moshalida Zeh Hadavar Shetiva Hashem, Afilu Dibor Ma'akeh, that since it says Dovar, Dovar is a hint of Dibor, which shows that even the Dibor is considered an ikker part of what you have to do and what Hashem commanded you, and therefore, Pesach, etc., it's Ma'akev. Okay, Agav, by the way, some of the Chronim write, we know in the Seder Avodos Yom Kippur, there's one important stage in Seder Avodos Yom Kippurim that the Kohen Gadol does that were not the sources of the Pesukim. What's that? Well, there's more than one answer to this, so that's not a fair question. The lane from the Sefer Torah, the Parsha of Yom Kippur, right? Remember, Imba, Kohen Likros, Bevig Dei Butz, he can, if not, he can wear his own clothes, etc. The Mishnah is in Yoma, and in the Piyute, in the Davening, but how do we know that the Kohen Gadol has to lane Yom Kippur? Mehechi Tesi, that the Kohen Gadol has to lane on Yom Kippur. Some of the Achronim suggest from here, because here we see the laning is important again on the Miluim, and if the laning is necessary in the Miluim, then Kasher Saba Yom Zeh Tzivah Shem Lachu Chafer Lech, and Chafer Lech is Maisi Yom Kippur. It could be that we learned the laning Yom Kippur from this exact Russia. Okay, but now I want to go back for a moment to Mechnasayim. Lahav Yetzah Mechnasayim, Vizeh includes the Mechnasayim in Shmot Chavtet. Basically, we have Shmot Chafchet, which lists all the begadim in order, including the Mechnasayim, and we have Shmot Chafchet, which is the Miluim. So Vizeh sticks the Mechnasayim into the Miluim. This has to do, as Tov points out, with a famous question that bothered all of the Rishonim, which is, why do we seem to have redundant Mekoros for the Chi of Misa of Mechoser Begadim? In the ninth parak of the end of the ninth parak of Sanhedrin, it lists all the things that are chayim to be shemayim. And one of the things is mechoser begadim. Mechoser begadim minolan. How do we know mechoser begadim? Amar Yoram Yochan and Matam Mishaydu or Yolaz Rishimon v'chagarta otam avnei bizman shvi otam avnei bizman shvi gamalem. I mean, he didn't read the whole pasuk. V'chagarta otam avnei. You have no idea what it meant. But if you read the pasuk, it says v'chagart otam avnei Aron v'anav v'chavash talahem migvaot v'italahem kunatam v'italahem tuhuna l'chukat olam. Right, you give them their avnei and their migvaot, and it also mentioned other begadim before that. V'italahem kunatam l'chukat olam. You give them their garments, and then they have tuhuna. What does that show? Bizman shvigdam aleim, kunasam aleim, bizman she'ein vigdam aleim, ein kunasam aleim. Right? That basically without the begadim, they're zar. Ba'avalu zarim. Right? V'amamar zar shimish v'misa. How do we know you're chayv misa because of begadim? Because it says in chavtes, perek chavtes, without begadim, they're zar, and a zar is chayv misa for avoda. Shalom al Yisrael. Agam, by the way, you should know this drasha. There's a famous question. The Gemara says, hamishtamish b'koin ma'al. Whoever uses a kohen is committing me'ila. Like if you have a kohen serving. Oh, we all go to a restaurant and the waiter sometimes a kohen and it doesn't bother us. So what happens to Shamash the kohen ma'al? So that was a discussion between Rabbeinu Tam, Tam Rabbeinu Peter. And I think it was Rabbeinu Peter who answered that, no, it's only a problem to use a kohen when he's a real kohen, when he's wearing big day kohen. When he's not wearing big day kohen, he's a zar. Again, I don't mean he's allowed to wear a grusha, but I mean he's a zar, not a zar le'inyan isurin. He's not allowed to go to funerals and marry grusha. The zar le'inyan kedusha. And therefore, Me'ilah, he's so kadosh that you can't use a kohen. He's only so kadosh when he's wearing begadim. When he's not wearing begadim, he's a zar, and it's okay. So one of the many answers that we've shown him to how come nowadays we all have waiters who are kohanim, or a million other things who are kohanim, you're not allowed to be served by a kohen. The answer is, without the begadim, he's a zar, and therefore, it's no problem. Okay, one of the many answers based in this gemara. But that's not our concern right now. Yona, you got the board. Okay, amazing. The problem is that we have all the Rishonim ask that we have a redundancy. What's the mucker that Mechutz Begadim is Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim? Actually, it's a three-way redundancy, as the Ramban and Latour and some of the other Makoros point out. The Me'il also says something. Let's leave the Me'il. Let's stick with Kohanim Ediotos, right? Let's think of the Kohen Hedyot, right? There are two Makoros that Kohen Hedyot missing a beged is Chayav Misa. What are the two Makoros, right? Makor, Chayav Misa for a Mechusar Begadim. One is Sanhedrin Pei Gimel Amadeis Alpi Shmos Perakaf Kef, right? That is Zorus. He's not a Kohen. He's a Chayav Misa of Zorus. What do all the Rishonim ask? They say, hold on a second. How about Perakaf Ches? Perakaf Ches, let me read you the end of Perakaf Ches, the last two psukim. You make them pants of linen to cover their erva from their loin to their thigh. Really short, not pants. They'll be worn by Aaron and his sons, and they go to Ol Moed or go to the Zveach to serve in the Kodesh. So they don't sin and die. Says right there, you die. Right, Shmos Chafchet. Famisu, as Rashi says there, says Rashi right in that Pasuk, you listening? Says Rashi, Halamata Shamashamish Mechusar Begadim Bemisa, says Rashi. Halamata Shehamishamish. Mechusar begadim, begadim b'misa. Okay, and that's not a big finish of Rashi. That's what it says, right? If you don't have begadim, you chay misa. So why do we have two redundant mekorals? Why does the Gemara Sanhedrin need to darshim hold drasha v'ayalam chunal chayvulam? After you put on your garments, you're a kohen. Without garments, you're a zar, and a zar is chayv misa, as it says in Parshas Korach. A zar kohev yumat. It's a mefurish pasuk. You're chayv misa. Good question. No. So, what are the answers to this question? So, Tosos in Sanhedrin there, quotes the famous answer of the Rimei Orleans, quotes the Rimei Orleans, and the Ramban in the Torah says the same thing, and so do a few Bali Tosos on the Torah, including, we'll mention a prominent one in the Perish Yivah in the Torah, you know, in the Bar Ilan. They have all these. They've discovered a million manuscripts of Mefarshim of various Bali Tosos in the Torah. We always had Dasakinim Bali Tosos, remember? We mature people. When we were growing up, there was the Old Testament Kroth Gedolos that had Dasakinim Bali Tosos. An anonymous collection of Bali Tosos. Then the Mosar of Kochim out with Torah Chayim, they put the Chizkuni, is also one of the Bali Tosos. The Rashbam is also one of the Bali Tosos, you know, although he has his own Derech, meaning he's not similar to the others. And then they discovered a million of them. There's a million of them in the Bar Ilan. I put the Riva here. I also put the Moshe of the Canaan, Mibali Tosos, which was not in the Bar Ilan. But the Riva quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who gives the exact same answer. Right? So what does Rabbeinu Tam and the Rilin and the Ramban Ala Torah say? Says the Ramban Ala Torah and Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Riva Ala Torah, and the Rimei Orleans, quoted by Tosos many places in Shas, including Sanhedrin, including here, including Zvach and Daf Yud Zayin, they say no problem, there's no redundancy at all. The Pasuk in Shmos Chaf Ches is talking about what, Effie?
Michnasayim.
Michnasayim! This is talking about saying you're chayav misa for not having mechnasayim. That's only mechnasayim. How do we know the others? Oh, well, it happens to work out very beautifully. What is Rosh Perikov test talking about? Listen. Again, I'm not going to go through Aaron, but it says et banav takriv yivleshtam. Look at my fingers. Kutanot. One. V'chagartalotam avnei. Two. Aaron of not v'chavash talam migo. Oh, three. Then v'italam kuna. Then they're kohanim. Three out of four. Yeah. Everything but mechnasayim. Touch it. That's mechnasayim. And this is everything but mechnasayim. Therefore, you need two different limudim. The pasuk in Parak Chaf Ches is telling you why there's a chiyuv misa for not having mechnasayim. But we don't know there's a chiyuv misa for not having the other three, or the other seven for a kohen gadol, because in the previous one has the other seven for a kohen gadol. The pasuk in Chaf Ches is a drush of Zaros if you don't have the other three. But we don't know if you don't have mechnasayim, so you need both. Beautiful. However, Tosus here throws a, and there throws a monkey wrench into it. And what does Tosus say? Mikan kasha to the Remir leans. Because Vizeh HaDavar combines them. Vizeh HaDavar says Mechmasayim is in Perikos Tess. Mechmasayim is in Perikos Tess. If Mechmasayim is in Perikos Tess, then you don't need two drushes anymore. Mechmasayim is in Perikos Tess. Not only that, Rashi assumes that all the begadim are in Shmos Chaf Ches. Right? Rashi assumes that all the begadim are in Shmos Chaf Ches. What did Rashi say? Mishamish chaser begadim bit misa. So here Tosa says, through Vizeh HaDavar, it combines them. So here, what's the problem? This is the kasha. He doesn't say here it's this kasha. But Rabbeinu Yaakov, Mayor Leans. He asked on himself, I guess. So what's the problem? The problem is Vizeh HaDavar equates Mechnasayim and Shar Begadim. Once you have Vizeh HaDavar, then why do you need both these things? Now, theoretically, you could say maybe it only equates they're both in Perikov Tess. They're not still both in Perikov Tess like Rashi, but still, it'll at least be part of the problem. So now you have to come up with other answers. So if you have Chav Tess, why do you need Chav Tess? This is an easy one. You need Perikov Tess even after Perikov Ches. Why? Let's say you already have Perikov Ches. Mechasayim equates begadim and shar mechasayim and shar begadim. And Rashi. Okay, let's leave it at this. What I mean to say is, we'll leave it about Torah about that. From Vizeh HaDavar, we see that even mechasayim are in Perikov Ches. So all you need is Perikov Ches. Not only that, Rashi assumes that even the other begadim are in Perikov Ches. Why? Because it depends how you read Perikov Ches. How do you read Perikov Ches? It says, it's an interesting one. Va'asei lahem mechnesei bad l'chasot pasar vav matnayim v'ad yirchayim yu. Stop. V'hayu al aron v'al banav v'omel omweid ov yishtam l'shem v'yaf l'shreit v'akodesh v'yisu avon v'misu. V'hayu is only the mechnesayim or everything until now. So let's say a little better. Here. The problem is, what's the problem? Why do you need this if the Vizeh HaDavar already included Mechnasayim in Perikov Tess? Right? If the Vizeh HaDavar puts Mechnasayim in Perikov Tess, then why do you need the Misa in Perikov Tess? Likewise, the Rishonim seem to be bothered. What do they seem to be bothered? That, why do you need this drasha if Rashi interprets
Parashas as referring to all the Begadim.
It's not clear to me if Rashi thinks Parashas is referring to all the Begadim, just the end of all the Begadim. It's the end of the science, it's also the end of the Begadim. You could take it two ways. Or Davka, because it's the Hadavar, he does it. So now what we're saying is don't be Mechalti, Mechnasayim, and everything else. That's one derech. No, maybe both Sukkim and Drashos are talking about everything. Parakhov Tes is talking about all four garments or all eight garments, and Parakhov Tes is talking about all four or eight. So why do you need redundancy? So here there's a gazillion answers. What are the gazillion answers? So for example, here's an easy one. If you already have Parakhov Tes, why do you need Parakhov Tes? If Parakhov Tes is Chayiv Misa, why do you need Parakhov Tes? What could you answer? What does Tosfos here say? What does Tosfos here say? Why do you need Parakhov Tes?
Even be
so one answer is, says Tosfos, Lilamed Shemechalel Avoda. Not everyone who Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim is a Chalel Avoda. Some things are Chayiv Misa B'dei Shemayim if you do them, but Avoda is still Kasher B'dei. It doesn't passel the Avoda. How do we know that Mechos regarding the Chalel Avoda? We don't know from Misa. Misa just proves you're Chayiv Misa. Your Karba might still be Kasher. How do we know your Karba is passel? That's from the Drasha. If you're like a Zar, then we know a Zar is Mechalel Avoda. Okay, that's the popular answer in Tosos. There are many other answers found in the Mefarshim. Let's just mention a few other answers found in the Mefarshim. The Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin says that Lelamed Shechayiv Misa Rak Al Avodatam. Okay, avodatama is a phrase. It comes from avadatem. Avodatama means a final avoda. There's halacha. A zar is only chayav misa for doing a finishing avoda, not a middle avoda. So, for example, he's not chayav misa for carrying the mizbeach, only for putting on the mizbeach. That's an example. So, if we only had perikav ches, we would think that a mechos regadim is chayav misa for doing any avoda. But now Cherchav Tes teaches us he's like Zar, so it's the Akula, not a Chum. He's only Chayiv Misa for Avoda Tama, a complete Avoda, that's a Tama real, a complete Avoda, not for an incomplete Avoda. Okay, good Kula. There are other Pshat in the Bali Tosfos on Torah, each of which are a little tricky. The Riva says on Torah, L'lameid Chayiv Misa L'Kohen Gadol Hamishamesh the Arba Begadim. If you only have Parakhov Tes, you would think if you have less than four Begadim, you're Chayiv Misa. Because it's right after four Begadim. How do we know Kohen Gadol's Chayiv Misa is less than eight Begadim? Because in Parakhov Tes, it lists right to Sukkim ago all eight Begadim of Aaron. So it teaches us that not only Kohen Hedyot with less than four Chayiv Misa, even a Kohen Gadol dressed like a Kohen Hedyot is Chayiv Misa. And the fourth shot, even though it's against him, a first Gemara, is in the Hadr Zakenim Ala Torah, says the Hadr Zakenim Ala Torah, what did it say in Parakhov Ches? Devo Amel Ol Moed Ovi Gesham Ala Mizbeach. Avoda done in the Ol Moed and or in the Mizbeach. How about Avoda done in the Chatzer? How do you know you're Chayiv Misa for Avoda done in the Chatzer? That's why you need Parakhov Ches. You're like a Zar, you're Chayiv Misa even for Avoda done in the Chatzer. L'Chayiv Misa Al Avoda that's done in Chatzer, She'eino be'ohel moed or in the Mizbeach. Okay, we're not going to get into it. This Hadar Zakenim is very problematic because it so happens every avod in the Chatzer that's not in the Ohel Moed or the Mizbeach is not an avodatama. So you're not really Chayiv Misa. So it's a bit tremendous to in the Hadar Zakenim, but that's not our problem right now. That will be for another day. Okay, there are lots of answers. This is the tougher question. If our Gemara put Mechasayim into Parakhov Tes, through Zehadavar, put Mechasayim into Parakhov Tes. Once Mechasayim is in Parakhov Tes, why do you need a Chiyuv Misa in Parakhov Tes? That Tosfos stuck on, and Tosfos Sanhedrin. He says, yeah, the first question is easy. One direction is easy, which is, you could say you need Parakhov Tes for Chiloda or for any of the other ones, but why do you need Parakhov Tes? So it says Tosfos. Because you know why? Because Parakhov Tes makes you like a Zar. A Zar is Chayiv Misa for doing what in one word? A Zar Chayiv Misa for doing?
Avoda.
Avoda. But But what is saying puff pass here? Everyone remember eat shoots and leaves? Right? Vayu al aron vi al banav bivoam el ohel moe. It depends how you read it. You could read it. Bivam al ohel moed ovi gishon le mizbeach. Lesharet bakodesh. When they go to ohel moed, they go to the mizbeach. Lesharet to do avoda. In which case, it's only avoda. However, Tosa says, maybe you can read it, bidochak, as bivam al ohel moed. Hama. When they go to ohel moed, regardless. Or they go to the Zbeach, meaning, depending on how you, where you comma in the Pasuk, depending where you put the comma in the Pasuk, it might mean you're chayav for going to the Ol Moed, Mechusar B'Gadim, even without doing anything. What's that called in halachic terminology?
Be'erekanis.
Going empty-handed. You might, Azar is not chayav misa for be'erekanis, so Tosa says, chayav misa, Al Bia Reikanit. Bia Reikanit always means almost. Again, it's one way of reading the Pasuk, which Tosfos points out that doesn't sound from the Zohar, that's where you the Pasuk, maybe you could stick it in. Meaning, the Bia Chlokas Rishonim. Are you Chayav from a Chutz Begadim? This only works according to one Shita. This is Taka Emachlokas. What's the din of Mechutzar Begadim? So this Machlokas says Tosos and Yoma he's Chayav, and that's why he answers this question. Tosos and Sanhedrin, I'm tempted to say he's Chayav and answer this question, but it's not true. I have proof that he's Pater. Says the Ram, I think it's clear in the Ram he's Pater. The Ram's lashon is only if he does Avoda. Tosos and Sanhedrin and the Rambam say Pater. So according to Tosos and Sanhedrin and the Rambam, you can't answer this question. He's just like a Zayr. He's only Chayav for Avoda. You don't need Pater. And they would read it as each shoots and leaves, which is the safer way to read it. But the according to the Tosas and Yomi, makes a big kiddush. It's a bit of a shittas yachid that you're chayav on bi'erei kanis mechutz regadim. Zar is putter. So from here, we wouldn't have known you're chayav misan bi'erei kanis. Zar is putter. Only from Erechav Kess, we know you're chayav misan bi'erei kanis because he reads it as Oel Moed, comma, pause. Okay, could be. Now, let's just point out for a second. Go back to the Ramban and Ravina Tam and the Rimurlin. Well, he effed on himself. Go back to the Ramban and Latour and Ravina Tam, right? How come they weren't bothered? Why? How come they weren't bothered? Let's call them first Derech. Just say Mechnasayim, other things. Then second Derech. No, there's different than Mechnasayim and other things. You have to find all kinds of, you have to find some chiddush of each makar. Bidokak with a shitas yachid. Why weren't they bothered by v'zeh ha-davar? How could they say you need this from Mechasayim? Why aren't they bothered by v'zeh ha-davar? So here I have two answers, right? Why not learn from v'zeh ha-davar? After all, the other Rishonim had a good point. V'zad davar means you don't need a separate mocker for the science, including Perikov test. So the Netziv says here that it's a machlokes amoron, machlokes asugios, whether we darshan that way. He says, no, our sugya darshan is v'zad davar, but the sugya in Sanhedrin of Chiyamisa doesn't darshan v'zad davar. It's only one opinion of our sugya to darshan zad davar and nechlasayim. There's another day that says we don't darshan zad davar and nechlasayim. Or I thought you could say, I thought it was not so crazy. See, you'll tell me if you think I'm crazy. I'm obviously crazy. I'm against all the rishonim. I don't understand why it's such a problem in the first place. The zad davar means that nechlasayim are included in the parsha of Miluim. That doesn't mean they're included in the pasuk of Vahayim Kuna L'Chilkas Olam. Meaning, what I'm claiming here is you can. This is why not all Rishonim want to say like me, or none of the Rishonim explicitly want to say like me. But I'm claiming that Rabbeinu Tam would implicitly say like me, right? And the Rabban Al-Tor would implicitly say like me. There's pshat of the pasuk and there's the drash of the pasuk. Pshat of the pasuk is you need to do this miluim to make them come home forever. The Zadavar includes Mechmasayim in pshat of miluim. Then there's the drash of the pasuk. Whenever a kohen's wearing his garments, he's allowed to do avodah. When he's not wearing his garments, he's chayav misa like a zar. And the drash of the pasuk, who says v'zad davar put mechasayim in there? V'zad davar just put mechasayim in the pshat of the general paragraph. Yeah, the pshuta shel mikra that you need this in order to consecrate and inaugurate and initiate and what have you, that puts mechasayim. But the specific drush of ain damn aleim ain kunasim aleim, maybe it doesn't put it into. So what I'm claiming, ulai yesh lomar, maybe you could say the zehadavar myirat b'miluim. The zehadavar means the mechasayim are in the miluim. It doesn't mean the mechasayim are in every drusha we make from these psukim. No, the drusha we make from these psukim is based on what it says in these psukim. In the days of the miluim, we have the zehadavar. So I don't think it's so crazy to ignore the zehadavar entirely. Maybe that's why the Rabbi Nachman wasn't worried about it, and the Ramban wasn't worried about it. Even though our Tosfos, it seems like the Rimi Orleans did worry himself about it. Actually, no. He just has a headache of Misa. I take it back. The Rimi Orleans didn't ask this question himself. He just asked the original question. He wasn't bothered by this. He just asked, why do we need redundant? And answer to Mechlasai. Then Tosfos adds on these things. So why were they not bothered? Even the Tziv, they thought it was Machlok, Sasugis, and they paskin against the Goren Yoma. Or they just don't learn Yomas at Milum, not about Doros. Okay, let me just take 3 seconds here, and I'm going to take 3 seconds here and ask a very, very simple question, which is, what's shot in this Mechlasayim business? Right? What do I mean by this? What's the relationship between Mechlasayim and all the other Begadim?
Right.
Right? Is there one din of Big Day Kahuna called 4 and 8? Or are they 3 din of Big Day Kahuna? One din of 3 and 7, and one din of Mechlasayim. We know on the one hand, from anyone who's just read through Shas, Mishnayos, Gemara, what have you, what does it sound like in Shas? One din of Begadim or 2 din of Begadim? What does it sound like in Shas?
One din.
You learned that. If you're learn all of Shas, sounds like there's one din. Right? There's Arba Begadim for Kohen Hedyot and Shmon Begadim for a Kohen Gadol. Sounds like there's one din. The Rambam also makes it sound like there's one din. The Rambam's mitzvah say lam and gimel to wear begadim lekavul tefaris, and they're 4 or 8. But when you read Pshuta Shel Mikra, what does it sound like? You ready for Pshuta Shel Mikra, Effie? Beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh. Make the Kodesh l'aron achicha lechavod ul
tefaris.
Kavod and tefaris. What are they? Eila begadim she'asu. 1, choshen, ephod, me'el, sonis, tashbeth, mitznefes, avnate, 6. Why 6? Because there are 6 begadim, because the tzitz is only metal, so add 7 the tzitz. Where's Mechlasayim? Where is Mechlasayim in the beginning of the Tzaveh? The answer is Pashut. In Peshuta Shal Mikra, Mechlasayim are not real big day kahuna, not the Kabbalah Teferis. How are Mechlasayim fancy? Then we go through all the big day kahuna, the whole Perek Chaf Ches. And we have an ending, a closing. The Hilbashta Otam et Aaron Achicha v'Navito, put them on Aaron and his sons, and Mashachta Otam, and anoint them, and relate that Yadam, and appoint them, the Kidashto, sanctify them, they'll be Kohanim. That's a good ending of the parable, no? Then all of a sudden, there's our postscript. P.S. Appendix. Vaselem Mechzeyad, the Chasel, the Saravam, and the Time, the Adirichayim, you also make Chasayim. Why? Not the cover of the Sepharis. For tzniyos. What's a tzniyos? They're wearing long skirts. But it's still not tzniyos. They're not of underwear. Right? It's not tzniyos to the floor to see your erva. Or if you take a big step, who knows? You might be megali your erva. Right? Pshuta shel mikra, there's 2 dinim. There's 7 and 3 covered in teferis. And we know the 3 are also covered in teferis. Not just Aaron, because Livnei Aaron says Kutanos, Yasishlam Avnei Tim, Umigva Ostasilam, that 3 lekavod ul tefaris. Okay, and then there's Kisuk Sa'erva. Why are Mechlasayim not in Shmos Chavtes? Because they're just Kisuk Sa'erva, they're not real Kedushas Kahuna, they're not real Big Day Kahuna. Why are they not in Parashat Sa'av, by Yikres? Because they're just Sa'erva, they're not real Big Day Kahuna. There's 3 or 7 real Big Day Kahuna, lekavod ul tefaris. The Kiddush those on the Chiyanuli, and then there's 1 Mechnasayim. There's 1 Mechnasayim, which is for Kisuk Sar Erva. There are 3 or 7 to accomplish a positive goal, and 1 to avoid a negative to avoid a negative problem of Giloy Arayos. That's Sudash HaMikra. But if you read through all of Shas, you don't necessarily get a hit. They always say 4 and 8, 4 and 8. So the question is, right, is it really Tzvedinim? Just summarize it 4 and 8, because they're not interested in getting into it right now. Or is it really 4 and 8? And my Diyukim from the Chumash are wrong. Or not, they're wrong. You're right. One is a little more glorious. One is Kisuv Sar Erva. But in the end, it's really the same thing. So here's the real question. What's with the Mechnasayim? Is there one din of 4 or 8 begadim? Or are they Tzvei Dinim? One of 3 or 7? And 2 of Mechnasayim? Yes. Ah, exactly. So hold that thought for a moment. Great. Hold that thought for a moment. Exactly. So let's just ask a question about what would be the point? Lekavod ulitifaret versus no. This is lekavod ulitifaret. And this is for kisoy erva. Kisi Erva is not exactly, yeah, you could say, no, Kisi Erva is part of Covenant Tiferes, right? So you could see it both ways. You're all covering your Erva as part of Covenant Tiferes. I understand that there's a more, the fancier parts, the less fancy parts. That's all one idea of looking nice, looking special, or no, or looking holy. Or no, they're two different dinim. The question is not going to be, do we call Mechnasayim Covenant Tiferes or not? Right? Do we call Mechnasayim Covenant Tiferes? Right? So number one, what are the nafkaminas? Some of these are not halach nafkaminas, but Aleph. Are the Mechnasayim Lekavodul Tiferes? We know in the Pshuta Shomikra they're not. Right? The beginning of the Tzavi, Yassizim, Yekor, Sa'arun, Achiz, Lekavodul Tiferes, the Mechnasayim are left out. But Lemaisa, what did the Rambam say in Sefer HaMitzvos? The Rambam says in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Rabosai, that Shenitzavikon Lilbos Begodim Yuchodim Lichavodol Tiferet. The Elohim Digdekuna Shmona Begodim Koin Godol V'Arvel Koin Hedyot. He puts them all under Lichavodol Tiferet. Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. As opposed to many Mepharshim on Chumash point out, they're not Lichavodol Tiferet. It's not like Gilim Sar Erva, which is part of Lichavodol Tiferet. Right, Arachayim said that, and the Meshech Chachma and the Gur Aryeh, right, the Gur Aryeh is actually the earliest, even though he was in practice, right, the Maral was before. The Arachayim and the Meshech Chachma, I'm sure we could find more, say that they're not Lekavodul Tiferes. Next question. Why are they not together in the Pesukim? Why in the Pesukim are they separated? Why is there a whole pair of Kavtes at closing and Mechnasayim? A whole pair of Kavtes without Mechnasayim when we need Bezeh, Dover, as Effie points out. Why are they separated in the Pesukim? So, says these three, because there's two different goals. One goal is the Kavod Tiferes, and that's the main Chavches. And that's what we have in the Miluim. The Miluim wanted to cover the Tiferes, not the side point. When they went to the bathroom, did they wipe afterwards in the Miluim? Mestama they did, because otherwise it was disgusting. But we don't have to put in there. Not be disgusting, you don't have to put in the Miluim. And glorious, you have to put in the Miluim. Obviously, you're not disgusting. You don't walk around with Gilui Besar Erva. What's the other option? If it's really all one din, why are they so separated and so good? Right? Why is it left out of the beginning of Tetzaveh, and why is there a closing to Perikov Ches, and then a new addendum of Mechnasayim, and why is it left out of Chavtes? So if you'll say, Zadzavar teaches you it's the same. But if Zadzavar teaches you it's the same, why in Pshuta Shomikra is it left out? Anyone have a good technical answer why it's left out? You could say, Stam, we don't care about Pshuta Shomikra. But we can do better than that. Anyone have a good technical reason why it might be separating the Pesuk, even though it's not a different din, just practically? Practically, what might be different?
Iron dressed them with the others. They put the Mechnasayim on themselves.
Exactly, Morty says. So number one, you could say maybe no reason, which I don't love, although it's going to have to say that for Rashi. Maybe it's no reason, or says the Ramban. What does the Ramban say on Torah? He says very pashut, because some the God the most put on them. And some begotten they put on themselves. What's the difference? It's better for Moshe to put all the begotten on them. But there's one beggar which for technical reasons Moshe couldn't put on them. Right? Well, it's for technical reasons. Moshe couldn't put the Mithnasayim on them. Right? He didn't want to hashtag me too. Right? Meaning, Moshe can't put the Mithnasayim on them. It's not Tzvias. Right? Moses is going to go and they're totally naked and put on the Mithnasayim. It's not Tzvias. Once they're wearing their Mithnasayim, Moshe can put the rest of them on them. Not mentioning that they probably do something like very private, etc. So it's a technical point. There's a technical problem or a technical distinction. What's the technical distinction? That Moshe couldn't do the halbashat mechnasayim. That's why it's separate. There's the ones Moshe puts on them and the ones they put on themselves. That's why it's not in Perikov test and it's only equated with Zadavar. It's not in Kov test because Moshe didn't do it. But if Zadavar teaches you, it's the same thing, just for technical reasons Moshe couldn't do it. Right? Shoot a filmmaker, there are two ways to go. Last 3 more seconds. Afkamim is where we started to redundancy of the Chi of Misa. Why do we have a redundant Chi of Misa? So if he's a Tzvidinim, then L'chora you will answer like Rabbeinu Tam and the real means. If you say it's all one din, if it's all one din, then L'chora you will give the answer of the other Rishonim. Why do I say L'chora? Because it's not Mukhrach. It's not Mukhrach. What could you say? Because you could say that really it's all one din. But at first we thought there were two things. You need a pasuk by Mechnasayim and a pasuk by the other Begadim. But once you have a pasuk by both of them, then we realize they're one din. Or you could say, no, it's really two different dinim. But even though there's two different dinim, the Zehadavar is enough to learn the Chi of Misa, and therefore you still need some other excuse. So this is L'chor, it's not Mukhra. You could say, I need a separate Chi of Misa, but afterwards I realize they're one din. Or you say they're two dinim, but Zehadavar is a technical hekesh, so we need another explanation. But L'chor would work with that. Now, let me just end with one point. Is there any real, one other question, which is, was Moshe Malbish the Mechnasayim? I know I said he wasn't. Did Moshe put the Mechnasayim on them? In the Pesukim, it sounds like he didn't. So, I would say, Pasha, not, of course not. He has to put the covenant to Pharaohs and the Kedusha on them. He doesn't have to put on them the Mechnasayim to cover the Rasar Erva. As a matter of fact, even if it's all one, then I might say, maybe no, just for technical reasons. Even if it's one din, for technical reasons, Moshe wouldn't put the Mechnasayim on them because that would be inappropriate, right? He doesn't want to do something inappropriate and not sneak. However, Rashi assumes Moshe put the Mechnasayim on them, even though it doesn't say anywhere in the Pesukim. This is Rashi Lishpasi. Rashi thinks it's the most posh thing in the world. Rashi thinks you don't even need to be awake to know that all begotten are din. And the end of Chavkes, he says all begotten. Says Rashi in a few places in the Sugya. I'll just mention one of them because it is very late. Rashi in the Vavon Alter Mechelot Tricha the Akdim says lo b'asachas mamishomer el zecher zel b'seder echad hoy lehipsik be'erachem beitain. Hilbish li Aaron called Lochogro to Avne Vecharka. Hilbish is one of Nechnasayim, etc. Or Rashi says that Moshe was Malbish. Why Rashi, Moshe's Malbish, doesn't say so in the Pesukim? Because it's obviously it's all one din. Ah, then why did the Torah separate them if Moshe was Malbush the Mechlesayim? No good reason. Rashi Lishitase, look Mokhab Torah, don't pay too much attention to the Pshat of the Torah Shemechlesav. Meaning, pay attention to what he calls Chudashel Mikra, which is the simple meaning of the words, but don't pay attention to the structure of the flow of Torah Shemechlesav. Rashi hates paying attention to the flow and the order of Torah Shemechlesav. And there's no good reason why it was in a funny order in Torah Shemechlesav. Okay, last, yes. You mean Elazar? Seems that way, but you could say either way. You could say, well, obviously not the Mechlesayim, or you could say yes. You could go, I admit you can go either way on that. But keep in mind also, it's less the Chiddush for Moshe. There they were in a cave at least, over here they're in the Chatzar Ol Moed Vachora, right? So it would be a little funny. It's not just Moshe, it's in public. Okay, maybe you could, I mean, they could put a sudden shabbat like on your kippur. Okay, forget that part. Okay, I want to end with one point. Is there enough good? Notice how none of these are nafkaminas halacha l'maisa. This is a nafkamina what happened 3,000 odd years ago. This is nafkamina answering redundancy and explaining Chiddushal Mikra and what you call things philosophically. Are there nafkaminas halacha l'maisa? Here is where the Meshech Chachma comes through and says, this is a halacha l'maisa ara, not a philosophical Chiddushal Mikra lumdish ara alone. Says the Meshech Chachma nafkamina. Hey, how about D.R.A. Kanis. Who? Kanis? Only the people who brought up B.R.A. Kanis are the ones who are grappling with that double equation. What's the din of B.R.A. Kanis? So here we know we have two shitas. Either B.M.Chosar Begadim, either Chayav or Potter, right? Says the Meshech Chachma, no, once they're seen and read the psukim carefully. Once they're tzvedin and read the psukim carefully. By, over here it says, bivoem alo moed, says the Meshech Chachma, mechoser mechnasayim is chaya for B'rei Kanis. They went to Al-Moed, eats, shoots, and leaves. But other begadim just make it like a czar. A czar is not chaya for B'rei Kanis. Shar begadim are potter. That's the Meshech Chachma. It makes perfect sense. The other begadim, you're only chayv, you have avodah without them. You're doing avodah without the kedusha and covenant, if eris, and the pomp and the circumstance. It's like a czar doing avodah. You're doing avodah without the proper pomp and circumstance. But if you just walk in without begadim, what's the big deal? Mechnasayim, he says, walk into, you would walk into Hashem's house with your basar erva showing? I know it's not literally showing you're wearing a skirt, a dress rather, but with your basar erva revealed a little? No way. Revealing your erev in Hashem's house is chayiv misa, even if you're doing not doing anything. However, not wearing fancy clothing is only chayiv misa if you do avodah. That makes a lot of sense. Theoretically, the Sfas Emes in Zvachim brings up a few other possibilities, but here he brings up possibilities and rejects them. He says, how about avodah tama? Maybe you could say, you're only chayav for avodah tama if you're missing the other begadim. But mechlesayim, you're chayav for any avodah, even if it's not avodah tama. Or tilul avodah. Maybe mechlesayim is not machal avodah. It's just chayav misa for yilu b'sar erva. It's not machal your avodah. So there are lots of other intriguing possibilities, which he brings up as havaminas. But this is not a havamin. This is the maskana of the Meshech Chachma. And it really makes perfect sense based on everything we've said. Okay, we'll have to stop here and continue. Meretz Hashem, next time, thank you for sticking with me after the rain delay. And I'll wish everyone a good Shabbos, and we'll continue Meretz Hashem next time.